This podcast is brought to you by Homul Casino Resort, the player's place.
It's time. The super polished, yet to be named Smart Baseball Weekly segment with Eno Harris. Saris, son of a bitch. Brought to you by 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from the ballpark, by the bay in Chula Vista. Here's Eno Saris with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Welcome Eno Saris for his weekly check-in, Smart Baseball, as we head down the stretch. And I mean, Eno, the Smart Baseball would never say a World Series contender could get swept 6 games by the Los Angeles Angels, right? So Dodgers are out. We can just write them off for the rest of the year.
It's tongue in cheek, buddy.
It's tongue in cheek. Does it ever frustrate you that as smart as you can be about baseball, baseball will sometimes fight back and just, you know, the dumb answer is the right answer sometimes?
Oh my God, dude. I think that's like the motto of the playoffs.
Oh yeah.
There's so many times you're like, oh, this is obvious. These are the contenders. And you're like, oh, okay, it's going to be the Arizona Diamondbacks against the Texas Rangers. What?
I mean, this year, Milwaukee, right? Like it doesn't really make a lot of sense on paper. It doesn't really make a lot of sense when you look at just the pitchers that they've beat recently. I mean, they've had no problem with Paul Skenes. Paul Skenes scares everybody half to death, except for the Milwaukee Brewers. And you know, they're really doing it with these guys are really good baseball players, man, and they play well as a team. But they're doing it with not a ton of star power.
Yeah, there's something that is actually in common with the Padres, and I wonder if there's, one thing I like about baseball and what I want for baseball is like different ways to win. And I think the Dodgers have been kind of doing a little bit of the Rays playbook where it's like, you know, we're going to have 10,000 pitchers and we hope 5 of them are healthy at any given time. And we're going to spend, and then, you know, not like the Rays, we're going to spend a lot of money on the lineup. That's where we're going to do that. And we're going to work on our pitcher development. I mean, it's a lot of the stuff we've heard before. I think what the Padres represent and Milwaukee and Toronto is a real, all in on contact. Now I was looking at barrel rate. So when you look at barrel rate, which is just, hitting the ball hard in the air, at the top, it's the Yankees and Baltimore. We always love the Baltimore. We always love the Baltimore lineup. The Mets are up there. Philly's up there. They've spent money to lead the league in barrel rate and hitting the ball hard. They do that. You know, the Padres are 26th in this number. But if you look at barrels, which is just the raw number of it, the Padres go up to 21st because they have so many batted ball events. They make so much contact. So in terms of putting lottery tickets out there and making contact, it's Toronto, Padres, Astros, and Milwaukee. Those are the top four. It's a slightly different way of going about the business. Now, I still hope that Tatis finds a power stroke and that, they add a little power dimension to all this contact they're making. But there is something that is in common between the Padres and the Brewers.
Okay, so, bringing that up, because I made the point earlier this week that the Padres have found ways to score runs consistently, especially since the trade deadline, by lengthening their lineup. And the bottom third has been, it's like night and day. However, I said, when you get to the playoffs, generally, you need to find a little power because you're facing so many good pitchers to score runs, and they still don't have that. Does that hold true? Do you generally need to find some home runs to have success in the postseason?
Yes, that is, teams that rely on the homer, retain more of their offense in the postseason. That's been something we've found. I found that, that power, predicts, wins in the postseason. Now, when I say that, it's really subtle and it's not that strong because nothing predicts wins in the postseason.
Right.
It can be good enough. The Royals won it all that one year based on contact and a bullpen, right? Contact heavy lineup and a bullpen. There are different ways to win in the postseason. And then we go about saying, oh, this is the new way to win. I think the postseason is basically a crapshoot. So I think this is approach as good as any. I do want Tatis to find the power stroke. I think it's a little bit better, especially, and Merrill too. I would like Merrill to hit for a little bit more power. Adding Laureano and O'Hearn is good because they can run into one. I think as good as everything is going, though, you know, Tatis getting going from, he's been getting on base and he's been fine that way. He's been making contact. I would love just a little bit more power element to that swing right now.
Talking to Eno Saris from The Athletic here on Ben and Woods this morning, and I know one of your favorite topics is bullpens. You love to talk and dissect bullpens, and I would say here in San Diego, we're pretty excited about ours, and we've talked to you many times over the years about, with every pitch a reliever throws, his, you know, the effectiveness essentially goes down. The way that Mike Shildt is able to now have basically kind of an A team and then like a lowercase A team for his bullpen on a nightly basis is pretty awesome. I mean, it's pretty awesome. And when you get some length from a starter, which is fairly rare, but Pivetta gave you some yesterday, Cease gave you some a couple times out, it really sets you up for the entire week of games. And I think he's really done a good job at deploying it. But what is your kind of view of the Padres bullpen going into these last 41 games?
Yeah, it's amazing to have a bullpen that leads the league in ERA, leads the league in wins above replacement, and is only 11th in innings pitched. So they've just been really excellent. And you're right. I think that, you know, that adage about like getting worse with every pitch, we saw a little bit with Jason Adam over the course of the season.
Yep.
Where, you know, when he was being used at his most, he became less effective. You know, he lost the plate a little bit. Now that he's getting a little bit more rest, you know, I think he's an excellent pitcher that, you know, hopefully, and then the other part of the, you know, being used often is your opponent seeing you often.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
So getting Mason Miller is kind of cool because, you know, he's not only is he so amazing and good, but the, you know, the opponents in division haven't seen him that often. And so he represents like a, sort of a fresh new look. And I think for what it's worth, David Morgan is a little bit like that too, where, you know, there's a lot of teams that haven't seen a lot of David Morgan. And it's always good to have that, like, you know, K-Rod did that in the playoffs one year, Francisco
yeah.
Rodriguez, where in 2002, we're like, nobody had seen him and he just blew through the playoffs. So it's always good to like, be dominant, but then it's kind of cool to also have like, oh, but you haven't seen this guy David Morgan, have you?
Yeah, and he's got really, really nasty stuff. And you know, the luxury of being able to go to him the other day in the what, fifth inning to get big outs is huge. And it's going to be fun, the strategy employed by Mike Shildt and the crew, you know, as we get into kind of the stretch run.
Yeah, I mean, even the C group of like Yuki and
Peralta,
you know, Sean Reynolds still throws 96, and
they
Brian
him,
Hoeing's out there with all the funk.
They sent him down. I mean, he lost the plate. I mean, but yeah, he's got stuff. But again, you may need to rely on a Sean Reynolds for something down the road. Brian Hoeing, you know, kind of looking to find his groove down in the minors as well. But like, they're still there, and if they can fix something, those guys could be very valuable down, you know, still 41
they've
games to go.
They've been good in the past.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. Exactly.
Talking to Eno Saris from The Athletic, some smart baseball on a Thursday. Let's talk about the other team, the LA Dodgers. Fangraphs still gives them a better chance to win the division, get the bye, and win the World Series. And we were kind of talking about that earlier. That's based on projections of the players that they have on their roster, but you know, they have such good players. What's not going well? I mean, we know about the injuries, obviously, you know, but there's got to be something a little bit more to it that they've struggled for now an extended period of time. It's not just a bad week. It's been a bad month and a half, you know, or more for the Los Angeles Dodgers. What are you kind of seeing here?
Well, I mean, yes, they project the Dodgers to win, but they project the Dodgers to win 92 games, the Padres to win 91. So, I mean,
close.
At that point, it's pretty much a toss-up because that's just a machine putting out a number as opposed to, like, you know, one game could go, you know, in a different direction. I think that to some extent, we're seeing some of the age of the Dodgers. You know, when you look at Mookie Betts right now, he's having such a bad year that he just said, I'm, you know, this is just a lost year,
yeah.
And, you know, I'm just going to try and do my best to help. But he's been below average with the stick, which is amazing. You know, Freddie Freeman's been fine, but he's, you know, a little hobbled on the base paths. You know, the stolen bases really fell off, and he's never been a huge power threat. And then Teoscar Hernandez has been kind of blah. You know, and the projections will say, oh, Teoscar will figure it out, Mookie will figure it out, but maybe they won't. You know, I mean, they're veteran guys that have gone this far into the season and not been that great. And the only kind of young player that has stepped forward and joined the lineup is Andy Páez. You know, he's 15% better than league average. Like, he's pretty good. But right now it's kind of the Shohei squad on offense. And then pitching, I mean, you know what I'm going to say. It's just you don't know who's available and who's healthy and who's good right now on this team. It looks like they're coming together, and so the projections are going to say Shohei's this kind of pitcher going forward, and Yamamoto's this kind of pitcher, and Kershaw's this kind of pitcher, and, you know, Glasnow is healthy, and Snell's healthy, so that's when they're going to really come online. But in the bullpen, you know, I don't see that same optimism. I'm not like, oh, this guy just has to come back, or this has to happen. The bullpen looks like a mess.
I like that.
Good stuff.
That's what I wanted to hear.
Good stuff.
I hope it continues.
Before you go, you know, got a couple minutes. Mason Miller, go back to the bullpen for just a second. I've always thought he was a fastball slider guy, and he is, but we've seen this change up lately.
God.
What can you tell us about that? I mean, has that always been a part of his game? Is that something new? Because it looked pretty nasty the couple times he broke it out.
Yeah, I think it might be a splinker.
Oh.
At least it has been. He's been playing around with it, you know, a little bit. But, you know, it's 93 miles an hour. It's one of the hardest changeups in the leagues. You know, Edward Cabrera has like a 96 mile an hour one. But it's super nasty. And, it, you know, even being as hard as it is, it still has, you know, 16 more inches of drop over his four seam fastball, and, you know, 6 inches more horizontal. So it's a huge power change, and it's completely different than everything else in terms of, you know, movement profile and stuff. So it's not something that I think, you know, he can land for strikes so much. But you get to two strikes and you're expecting the slider and you get the changeup. I mean, that's a big deal.
It's funny because, you know, we get so mesmerized by fastballs and radar guns, but we know it with Trevor Hoffman. You see Christopher Sanchez with the Phillies. Changeups can be the most effective pitches against big league batters.
Yeah, it can make them look the silliest for sure.
Gets me every Sunday. Every Sunday.
I think the main problem though is that if he can't land it for strikes, then if they can spot it at all, then they're just going to lay off of it. You know, so what you like? I think this is something we've learned from Suarez too. It's like he's got to throw that change up in the zone sometimes, so that they honor it and they think they have to swing at it. You know.
Eno, appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next Thursday. We'll at least have half of these Dodgers games under our belts and a little more info in the NL West. Take care.
Yeah, they got to get to that bullpen. All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
Eno Saris.